you have done amazingly well. How can you start this global phenomenon from VATS?
But this is a market that will grow for decades. So we are, as we see it, in the beginning of the growth journey.
Fastest growing, most exciting, most profitable company in the Nordics.
We see an acceleration of e-commerce.
Very warm welcome to the Arctic Podcast, where we have a very special guest today. He is with us on video link from Nedre VATS. That's a very important place that you maybe didn't hear about before. Our guest today is probably the hottest CEO in Europe right now. I'm saying this because his company, which was originally founded in 1996, IPO'd as late as the 20th of October. It was the biggest IPO in Norway since 2001, when there was a company called Statoil that later disappeared, at least the name, IPO'd. So the market cap at this time of recording, which is the 9th of December, is NOK 144 billion. Euros 14 billion, American dollars 16 billion. This is enormous. We're extremely pleased to have you here via video link. Our guest today, the CEO of AutoStore Systems, Mr. Karl Johan Lie, welcome.
Thank you very much.
I need to start with some really basic questions, Karl Johan, just so we can understand. And yes, I should apologize. Maybe some of our listeners have been, you know, to the moon. Maybe they didn't pay attention. So maybe they are wondering, you know, how big is your company? So how much revenue did you report sort of year to date, and how fast are you growing?
Yeah, we report a revenue of approximately $230 million after the third quarter, which was a growth of approximately 90% and a 95% growth in the quarter.
How much are you guiding for that you're going to grow to next year?
This year, we are guiding for approximately $300 million turnover, which will be approximately 65% growth. And for 2022, we are guiding above $500 million, which will be a similar growth as in 2021.
Is this very sort of growth only now, or where do you see the growth going forward?
Well, historically, we have grown more than 50% CAGR since 2010. So this is really in the same range. But the long term or medium term, we say that we expect a medium term growth of approximately 40% going forward.
And I must say, this is a verbal medium, but you seem very relaxed when you say these numbers. You seem very confident when you say these numbers.
Yeah, we have a lot of data in our, we have a good pipeline overview and a lot of projects we are working on. So we feel comfortable on our medium term guiding.
So you're selling very much, but how about the margin? Are you giving away your products for free? Are you doing like a Gillette razor blade type model where you're going to get paid in the future? Or where is your margin picture looking at the moment, Carlo?
The margin picture is for the operation is very good. We have adjusted EBITDA of approximately 50% and in addition to the growth of 60-65 approximately 65% this year. And we also have a strong cash conversion above 80%. So I would say we have a superior financial profile.
I am impressed, and I think obviously the market is impressed, and I guess we need to then swiftly move over to the customers. Why are the customers so impressed? So I didn't prepare your question, this question, but did you ever disclose who's your biggest customer?
We have a lot of customers claiming that they are our biggest customer.
You have a lot of customers who want to be your biggest customer.
Yeah.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, it is. But I think at the moment that that Boozt is one of the very big ones.
Boozt.com.
Maybe the biggest at the moment. But this also depends on where they are in their in their journey to expand the distribution centers. So it varies who are the biggest one, but Boozt is one of the biggest ones for sure.
How many customers do you have?
We have more than 500 customers around the world, more than 770 installations sold by the end of quarter three. So and in quarter three, we sold more than 100 installations.
So Boozt is obviously a Swedish or I guess Nordic listed e-commerce company. And I think that, you know, that's a very good example because I'm guessing, well, I actually know that they have been growing very fast and you're sort of growing with them. And e-commerce, how big portion of your sales is related to e-commerce at the moment?
It varies slightly from year to year, but above 70% of our customers are connected to e-commerce one way or another. And e-commerce is really a key growth driver for our business.
But isn't the fact that e-commerce is everywhere, right? Because even traditional companies, because I mean, you have a slide showing which companies are, like Puma, for example.
Yep.
Puma, the way I look at Puma, it's... I'm guessing that a lot of people would, you know, go to a shop and buy some Puma training gear, or people would, but then e-commerce is part their business. So can you explain how does that work, Carlo?
Yeah, it will typically be so that they will deliver to their shops and to e-commerce from the same grid. Puma will
okay,
be
so,
other...
so they buy your system both to sell to customers, but also to sell to send to their different shop, their different distribution channels.
Yeah, absolutely. And Puma will be one of those. And another example of that will be XXL, delivering to their shops. In when you go to their distribution center, also Gardermoen, they will typically send on the one side of the grid. You will see that they are picking for their stores. And on the other side, they will have their e-commerce handling.
And then you have customers that are completely, or at least you haven't ticked the box, that they're not e-commerce related, such as ABB and Siemens. And why would they need an AutoStore system?
It can be for spare parts handling. Many in the industrial sector, we have a lot of installations in the industrial sector. Many of them use AutoStore for their spare parts handling. Some of them also use AutoStore to supply the production lines. So AutoStore is placed in the middle of the production line and supporting the different parts of the production line with parts.
And then you have clients like IKEA, and I must say they are probably as far away from. I mean, because whenever you go to an IKEA store, you always have to go through this labyrinth, and then you end up basically in their warehouse, or you have to find the goods yourself. So they are probably looking as far away from the AutoStore automation image that I can imagine. So what does IKEA do, or why is IKEA a happy customer?
Well, IKEA had an installation that in Europe that is placed in the middle of the shop, primarily to deliver for e-commerce customers, but it is placed in the middle of the shop.
So. Okay, so they are, I guess they have to do like everyone else. They have to offer e-commerce as part of their offering, and then you are by far the most cost-efficient?
Most cost-efficient, most space-efficient, most modular. So you have all the key customer KPIs that AutoStore fits very well to for these type of customers.
Okay, so you have a lot of customers. We have established, we have more than 500 customers. How many countries are your customers in?
We have customers in approximately 40 countries at the moment.
What, and it's difficult, of course, but what if they have to pick three reasons why they choose AutoStore? Is it cost, or?
Well, cost is important, of course, but generally it's the payback time, and we have the lowest payback time of the different automation solutions as we see it. And it is key customer KPIs like space efficiency. With an AutoStore, you can reduce space with up to 75% compared to traditional warehouse systems. It is modularity and single point of failure. We have no single point of failure, so we have the highest uptime in the industry. And it is a modular solution, so you can easily expand the system while you're in full operation. So that means that for an e-commerce customer, you don't need to plan for 3, 4, 5 years ahead when you set up your automation system at AutoStore. You can buy for a system for today's needs and easily expand while your business grows.
What is the average cost of an AutoStore system, roughly?
It's very dependent.
Depends on the size,
what you have of equipment around. But generally, we will typically see from our side AutoStore installations from 5 to hundreds of millions of Norwegian crowns, really.
Okay, so let's say from $1 to $10 million, or in that range?
Yeah, that will typically be in the range, yes.
And did you say, payback time of 2 to 3 years?
1 to 3 years is typically what you say. If the space efficiency really kicks in, you can get the payback time back in months, really. So when space efficiency kicks in and you don't, and the alternative is to build a bigger warehouse, but because of the space efficiency of AutoStore, you can stay in your existing building. The payback time can be close to zero sometimes.
And then we need to talk about ESG, which is this big topic that used to be like a separate topic, but it's I think now ESG is everywhere. So we need to focus on that. So let's start with E for electricity.
Yeah.
How much electricity do you use?
We say that 10 robots use approximately as much power as one vacuum cleaner. For an average AutoStore installation, the power consumption will be comparable to 5 vacuum cleaners, really. And compared to other automation systems, our power consumption is second to none. You see examples our power consumption is 10-20% of other automation systems sometimes.
10-20%, so you're 80-90% lower on electricity
sometimes
consumption.
Sometimes it can be that.
Yeah, but that must be a huge factor in the cost component. I mean, there is a bit of an energy crisis.
Big impact on the payback time, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a bit of a energy crisis, at least in Norway and Sweden. People are shocked about the fact that it's cold and the electricity prices are going up. And then I guess, internationally as well, definitely across Europe, then there's a lot of focus on energy. And then, of course, E for electricity prices was sort of me trying to be funny, but E is, of course, for environmental. So using less electricity, you are obviously saving the planet.
Yeah, and it really contribute to the E. And also we as the most space efficient solution, we can reduce space with up to 75%, which is also important in this connection, of course.
Of course, because building a warehouse is using resources. And let's focus then on the S for social. There's a lot to be said about, warehouse workers, but should we maybe start with, what's your view on sort of the S for social and warehouse workers?
Yeah, I will say that to work in a warehouse where you have an AutoStore system is a good working environment, which is important, of course. They stand by the port and the goods are brought to the ports by the robots. So you don't need to work long distances as you do in traditional warehouses. So a warehouse with an AutoStore solution, more people can work in that type of warehouse than in a traditional warehouse, I would say. Good working condition.
Yeah, because you said something about not losing your inventory. And obviously it's a digitalized system, so you know where everything is at any point in time, right?
Yes.
But it's also a closed system, right? So you're not injuring people, right? You cannot get anything, in the head, or it's pretty much an injury-free zone. Isn't that safe to assume?
Yeah, I would say it's much less challenges in that connection compared to a traditional manual warehouse. We see customers saying that I have had the system for 4 years, haven't had any injuries during that period of time, for instance. So clearly reduced the
and ergonomics, or how do you pronounce that? Ergonomics, which is, I've had back problems myself, not from working in a warehouse, but probably from sitting in a chair too much. But ergonomics is important, right? People probably have back injuries.
Yeah, it is important. And when we develop port solutions, we look into ergonomic to try to develop this the best possible way for the workers. And I think we have, when you look at the port solutions coming out from us regularly, you will see that ergonomic is an area that is important to us.
Fantastic. We are moving swiftly over to the future of AutoStore, because I think we have established that you have done amazingly well. It's obviously probably the fastest growing, most exciting, most profitable company in the Nordics and Norway for sure. But where do you see this 40% growth that you are alluding to? Sort of, I think that's a medium term growth scenario, Karl Johan. So where is the bulk of that growth going to come from?
Yeah, we can go into the market then, because we are in a completely underpenetrated market, really. We say that the total potential TAM for automation solutions is $230 billion. and the ASR.
So that's $230 billion compared to your $500 million of next year's revenue. So you are obviously a small part of
The total market that is supplied yearly today is only $5 billion. So that means that it's completely underpenetrated. 15% of the installations in the world are wholly or partly automated today. We expect that during the next 30 years, 4 out of 5 warehouses will be automated. And that brings a market that will grow with 15% CAGR for the next 3 decades. In addition, a system like AutoStore, where e-commerce is a clear growth driver and other secular megatrends also supporting our growth, we can expect much stronger growth going forward. So we, medium term, say that we expect a growth of approximately 40%. But this is a market that will grow for decades. So we are, as we see it, in the beginning of the growth journey.
And then we are not only growing in e-commerce, I guess we're growing in other verticals as well.
Yeah, the good thing with AutoStore is that it is a very modular system. It is very flexible. You can build it in any shape you need based on your warehouse operation, really. And that means that AutoStore can be used in the big CFCs. It can be used in the smaller MFCs, micro-fulfillment centers, and everything in between, really. So we cover the whole market, really, with our modular system.
So CFC is a customer fulfillment center?
Yeah, large customer fulfillment centers. So typically the big ones like the Boozt, for instance.
Yeah. And because you also have a picture on your homepage which looks a little bit like a high street, like a Champs-Élysées or Regent Street, Oxford Street, where you have like one of these flagship stores and they would also have an AutoStore. Is that sort of a future vision or is that happening now?
Yeah, you think in a mall, for instance, or
yeah, or in a mall, or even in a high street shop that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have, for instance, AutoStore installations in the middle of a mall in APAC, where you are supplying with electronic equipment. You can put it into a big store in the center of the city. To take care of the
shop,
all warehouse for the shop can really be put into an AutoStore in that connection. You can have some examples in the shop for trying clothes, etc., and you can pick it from the store. I think that is something that you will see in the future.
That looks very, very smart. And then maybe one word on geographical expansion, because I do believe you did mention 40 countries. Yeah. And I'm not sure about my maths here, but there's probably 40 countries in Europe. And I wouldn't be surprised if you were in all those, but but you are around the world, obviously. But are you a little bit Europe heavy at the moment?
Yeah, we are 70% of our turnover today is in Europe. Europe is the market where these type of equipment has come the longest way, so it's a more mature market in Europe. But we also see that we are growing strongly in Europe. Europe will continue to grow strongly in these type of in this market going forward. But we will see more growth in North America and even more growth in APAC, where we have the shortest way on this automation journey so far.
And then I must ask for various reasons, but groceries, obviously, groceries, I guess, traditionally not a big e-commerce thing. Then there are some examples of some companies that are doing well. And where do you see AutoStore in the grocery industry?
We see that clearly as a very good tool for grocery customers when they go into more into e-commerce. When you look at grocery, we see an acceleration of e-commerce turnover after the pandemic. In the US, for instance, before the pandemic, 3% of the total turnover in grocery was e-commerce. And just in a couple of months, it was tripled to 9%. And we see that journey continues, really. So that means that the grocery customers more and more look into automation to solve this challenge with much more volumes in e-commerce. And we see many customers looking into automation and AutoStore at the moment, really. And we also see deliveries to customers like HEB in Texas, to Peapod in Philadelphia, as examples of customers looking into using AutoStore for their micro fulfillment centers, for instance.
Yeah, you have on your customer list, which is excellent. You have also Kesko from Finland and Ahold Delhaize, which I believe is Belgium and Netherlands, and Asta, which is used to be Walmart in the UK, but it's owned by some British guys now. Yep. So you're obviously in this space. And then the thing that I know that you don't want to talk about, but obviously Ocado. Did you ever sell anything to Ocado?
Yeah, we have sold 3 installations to Ocado, the first one in 2012.
And then there is the lawsuit now. So obviously...
They have developed their own system, and we have a lawsuit in the UK and in the US.
Right. And then you did mention, you sent a press release saying that there will be a verdict coming out next week, 12th, 13th of December.
That's
so
correct.
I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens there. I think we need to round off a little bit towards the sort of a trip down memory lane. I have already alluded to the fact that you're based in Vats, which is near Haugesund, which is on the west coast of Norway. I don't think it's particularly sort of famous for e-commerce. How could you start this global phenomenon from Vats?
Yeah, this idea came as part of the Hatland Group, which at that time was a component distributor. And Hatland has been a company in Vats for many years and have made several startups and developed.
And was this an e-commerce? It was an e-commerce sort of electronics distributor.
It was delivery of electronic components to the industrial companies primarily, I will say.
Which year are we now?
96. And we were growing very fast. And our technical director then came in one morning because we were growing fast and we needed to expand the warehouse. And then our technical director, Inger Hongerland, came in one morning and said that he had an idea that we didn't need to expand the warehouse. And the question he had was, what do you see most of in a warehouse? And the answer to that is that what you see most of in a warehouse is air. So his view was that we needed to get rid of the air. And that was the cube, really, with no air between the bins, everything stacked tight together. And with that, we started to develop the prototype and went commercial with the system in 2004 and had the first commercial installation in 2005. So Hatland was very important to go to the level and bring it to the market, because he was willing to invest and invested several hundred millions Norwegian crowns into the product, and was the owner of the product until 2017 when EQT bought the company.
And we should maybe mention EQT bought it for about 4 billion, and the market cap is now 144. So that's a big move.
Yeah, we have had very good owners, I will say. First Hatland to get it to the first stage. Then we had EQT that was supporting us to professionalize the organization and bring it to the next level. Owned it for 2.5 years, and then they sold it to THV Partners, which was another private equity firm based in Boston, Massachusetts, that further supported our development. And then this spring, SoftBank came in with a 40% strategic stake, and after we now have gone IPO, SoftBank is our biggest owner.
And I know that you're not allowed to ask. I have 3 daughters, so I'm not allowed to ask who's my favorite. But who's your favorite shareholder?
I think all these shareholders has been favorite for different periods of time. So I think Hatland was very important for us to bring us to the market and up to a certain level. EQT was very important when they owned us and did a very good job with us during the period that they owned it. And THL has done the same. And we are supported now by all these owners still, both EQT, THL and SoftBank is part of our board.
And then smaller scale, but you also announced some cornerstone investors in conjunction with the IPO. These were Alecta from Sweden, Fidelity from, I guess, Boston and London, Moore, which I believe is Calgary-based, and WCM, which is California-based. Can you just, again, I'm not asking you to say who's your favorite, but do they have different perspectives, maybe? Is it different things that make them attracted to the Autostore story?
I'm sure that it is, but I think generally the financial profile is attractive to the investors. I think the growth trajectory we are on is very attractive for all of them. And I think all also see that this is a market and a product that's really supported by a market that is underpenetrated, that grows strongly for decades to come, and also supported by secular megatrends that bring stronger growth to this type of products. So I think generally, I believe all these investors look at these important areas to focus on.
Absolutely. You tick a lot of boxes. Now, a few questions to round off. What is the best and what is the worst part about being a listed company compared to being private equity owned?
Well, you get more focus. And that's good because you get more known and you can attract. We hire a lot of people, so you attract more people.
How many people are you now?
We are approximately 550, and I expect that in a year or so, we will probably be close to 750, so we grow a lot.
And of these 550, how many are based in Watts, and how many people are based elsewhere?
Yeah, we are approximately 150 people based in Watts. We are 70 in Oslo. We are 250 in Poland in the factory. We have 60, 70 people in the US, and then we have a smaller smaller offices around in Europe, in the bigger markets, and in APAC.
We should maybe also mention now, or I guess I'm asking you the question, how can you sell to so many different clients everywhere when you don't have that many people? I guess
because we have a go-to-market strategy where we only sell via partners. We have a partner model where system integrators is selling the system and delivering the systems out to the end customers. So we sell modules to the partners. And that means it's a very lean model. We can scale effectively around the globe. And we then expand the partner network in the actual markets as we need it.
How many partners do you have?
21 at the moment.
And they generally make good money?
Yeah, we believe that they make good money. And that's important also, of course, for them to focus on selling AutoStore in the market.
So then there's a couple of American sort of thought leaders and billionaires that I want to ask you about. So the first thing I want to ask you about is Amazon. Is Amazon a client?
Amazon is not a client today, but for sure a client.
Not yet.
But for sure a client that we would like to work with, and we believe we have a good solution for a company like Amazon also.
So I saw a quote in the Wall Street Journal, which was from a human resource manager in Amazon. And she said, the biggest challenge we have is really just the number of people we need.
Yeah. And they have a lot of manual warehouses, and they also have their Kiva system that they bought in 2012. But they scale a lot, so they need a lot of people. And I think one of the challenges, for instance, in the US is that it is difficult to get enough warehouse workers. And then automation is it's a good solution, of course.
Yeah, it must be better for everyone if you automate and digitalize, and the people that work there have a better ergonomics and a better, you know, less injuries and maybe more fulfilling day. So that should be better for everyone.
I think so.
And then,
yes.
And then the last closing question. There was actually another comment yesterday from Elon Musk, and he was a little bit on the same topic. He said, actually, the biggest risk to civilization is low and rapidly declining birth rates. We're going to run out of people.
That's correct. And we see that, especially in the US, in some places, we see that it has been difficult for the end customers to really get enough warehouse workers. So clearly an area that we can address.
We are extremely proud to have you on our podcast, AutoStore CEO Karl-Johan Lier. And we are, of course, very proud that you're in the Arctic sphere of Oslo-listed companies. And we wish you all the possible success also going forward.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you.
This podcast has been prepared by Arctic for information purposes only. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. The information provided in this podcast is not intended to constitute investment advice, nor is the information intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any financial instrument. Relevant and specific professional advice should always be obtained before making any investment or credit decision. It is important to note that past performance is not indicative of future results. This podcast does not fulfill the criteria for preparing investment research and must be seen as marketing material. All information submitted during this podcast is obtained from public sources that Arctic believes to be reliable, but which Arctic has not independently verified. Arctic makes no guarantee, representation, or warranty as to its accuracy or completeness. No liability whatsoever is accepted for any direct or indirect, including consequential, loss or expense arising from the use of information from this podcast.